I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Monday, March 11th. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:30. Committee members present today, Vice Chair Senator Dyson, Senator Bishop, Senator Machicki, myself, Chair Giesel. Senator Faircloth will be joining us soon, and I believe Senator French is excused today, and I believe that Senator McGuire will also be joining us shortly. So we have three items on the agenda today. The first one is Senate Bill 54. And this is version A. It's before us by request by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And I understand that we have an amendment to consider. Senator Dyson?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion is to accept a conceptual amendment, page 1, line 9, to change the sunset date to 2018.
For purposes of discussion, I will object. Senator Dyson, thank you for your motion. I'll ask Commissioner Brown if he would like to come forward and speak to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Benjamin Brown, Commissioner from the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And this is a numeric amendment. It would change the extension of the life of this program from 5 years, a 10-year extension to a 5-year extension. And it's really, I believe, a compromise. As the committee heard, Madam Chairman, last week, there are some people who don't like vessel-based limited entry, and they express their concerns about this program. And a 5-year sunset date will simply allow the issue to be revisited in half the time as a 10-year sunset extension, and during which time we can attempt to have a dialogue with those who don't like some of the aspects of the program and study the status quo and maybe look at ways that it could be changed so it was not something that people found objectionable. So I think very simply it's a compromise between 10 years and the proposal for 5.
Very good. Thank you. Committee members, any questions for Commissioner Brown? Yes, Senator Dyson.
Thank you. Perhaps this is not an appropriate question. Is anybody here from the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council in the room? All right. Well, perhaps an inappropriate question. We've received a letter that says that the council considered this issue and it wasn't on the agenda and that there was no place for any public comment. Do you know anything about that, sir?
Madam Chairman, Senator Dyson, I actually did attend a couple of days of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting in Portland, and it was not an agenda item. I believe it was taken up under staff tasking, which is a portion of the meeting that occurs at every North Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting where they ask the staff to do things. It's kind of a catch-all. So I don't think that there's anything incorrect in the assertion that the gentleman who wrote that letter made that it was not on the agenda at the meeting. But I think you'd have to speak to Chris Oliver at the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to confirm that, but I'm not aware that it was on the agenda. I believe it came up at the end of the meeting under staff tasking, Madam Chairman, Senator Dyson.
Follow-up, Senator Dyson?
Yeah, well, once again, it's really out of your purview, but indeed, I guess I'd ask the question, is that good public policy, you know, for an issue that apparently affects a lot of people, for it to only come from the staff and no opportunity for either stakeholders to apply or know of it and to weigh in on it?
Madam Chairman, Senator Dyson, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council and the National Marine Fisheries Service and the Magnuson-Stevens Act, all those federal entities that govern federal fisheries management, are much more complex and I would say arcane than what we do at the state level. This is a letter in support of continuation of the state program from the federal managers because there is some overlap in the management regime and in the fisheries themselves. There certainly would have been an opportunity. I think I can say with conviction that there would have been an opportunity for the public to comment if the North Pacific Council were going to be taking action on the federal side of things and not writing a letter in support of the state side of things. That probably does not assuage this gentleman's concerns that he didn't have an opportunity to comment, and I can't say that it is the best public process for him not to have been able to comment. If he had stayed around through staff tasking, I don't imagine he would have been prevented from commenting during the open comment period, but he didn't know, and that's why, as I understand the letter that I saw, he wasn't able to comment. So it's probably not as good as if he had had an opportunity to make his thoughts clear to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
All right, if I may.
Follow-up?
So it's been a while since you all went over this with me and so on. But that decision on which is part of the basis for this bill does affect the business of the folks that work in the Kodiak and Cook Inlet area. And when was there an opportunity to those folks to weigh in on this decision aside from talking to us?
Madam Chairman, Senator Dyson, I cannot tell you that off the top of my head. I can tell you that the North Pacific Fishery Management Council supported the extension of the sunset 5 years ago, and there was a letter written at that time. And I don't believe there's been any change in that body's position on the viability of the vessel-based limited entry program run by the state of Alaska. So I would have to go back and look at minutes of prior North Pacific Fishery Management Council meetings to see. But certainly, those are publicly noticed meetings. There's something called a three-meeting outlook. The meetings are held in various locations around Alaska and in the Pacific Northwest, Portland, Seattle, very commonly in Anchorage, sometimes in communities like Nome and Unalaska. But off the top of my head, I cannot tell you at what meeting the actual action was taken and what public comment was afforded at that meeting.
Last one. But can we be assured that this issue coming up was in the notice that went out three times to the let people know that the board was going to take actions or respond to staff-initiated actions?
Madam Chairman, Senator Dyson, I can tell you with confidence that when the action was taken where they created the federal management plan, there would have been a public comment period. And I can tell you that I think the gentleman's right that there was not notice about this letter at the most recent meeting in Portland. But to look back at prior meetings where the substantive policy was set by the council, I would be very, very surprised if that had not been duly noticed as part of the agenda and a significant chunk of time set aside. The other thing, just if I may, Madam Chairman, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council has a scientific and statistical committee and an advisory panel, both of which meet for several days prior to the actual council meetings. And those meetings are opportunities for the public to provide input on decisions that are going to be forwarded from, they call it the AP and the SSC, to the full council for action. And it is the epitome of a federal bureaucratic process, as I said a few moments ago, Madam Chairman. It's very complex. So I would be shocked if we went and looked back at the minutes of the meetings of the past 10 years when the council was making substantive decisions to create the federal scallop fisheries management plan and work to delegate the management to the state of Alaska, that there was not public comment available when those decisions were made. And I'm distinguishing that, Madam Chairman, from this sort of ministerial decision to send a letter at the end of the most recent meeting where it wasn't on the substantive action item agenda for the council meeting. And so, again, Madam Chairman, I'm not saying this gentleman's wrong in complaining that he didn't get an opportunity to say something at the meeting in Portland because he didn't know it was going to come up. But I think at the same time, Madam Chairman, a lot of things come up in staff tasking that have not been publicly noticed. It's kind of the catch-all at the end of the council meetings where they direct the staff to do this or that in preparation for the next meeting. And I don't want to say a great deal more, Madam Chairman. I think Chris Oliver is the executive director of the council. Eric Olson is the chairman. And they could probably speak, were they here, at greater length about that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Senator Dyson. I guess my thought is we're probably asking Commissioner Brown questions he can't answer about a process from a meeting that he didn't run. So that's unfortunate. Further questions from the committee? All right. Thank you. I will withdraw my objection. Then, is there further objection to the motion for the conceptual amendment to alter line 9 to read December 30th, 2018? And I will just, as an aside, ask that the record reflect that Senator McGuire joined us about 5 minutes ago. Welcome, Senator. Senator Machicki?
I'm going to just speak in support of the amendment, Madam Chair. I also have concerns about skipper-based systems. In this case, it does seem like the most efficient way to get our Alaskan scallops to market. It's a difficult fishery. I think the 5 years gives folks that may be concerned and may want to have additional discussion on the subject time to come forward within the next 5 years and plead a case. So very much in favor of the amendment and appreciate the opportunity to comment.
All right. Thank you. Are there further objections to the amendment? No. Senator Dyson, did you want to comment?
Not on the amendment.
Okay. Well, if there are no further objections to the amendment is adopted. Is there a discussion?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to identify myself with the remarks of Senator Machicki. When Governor Egan signed the first limited entry law, he said, I hate it. Mm-hmm. But given the practical considerations, it's probably the right thing to do. And just philosophically, I don't like government interfering in any business sorts of things. I don't like them picking winners. I don't like monopolies. The overriding thing for me in these game and fisheries management sorts of things is I'm willing to consider limiting the number of participants to make it possible or easier for the game managers and the fisheries people to be able to manage it. And that's a valid concern. The other one is that no one's ever accused, let alone convicted, any of us commercial fishermen of being really wise. And when there is a rush to get the fish, folks like me and maybe my colleague will go almost in any weather with any equipment we can get started. The chance of catching any fish at whatever price. And there's been lots of very dangerous things done. And particularly in the Bering Sea, certainly in Shilikoff Straits, where I have more experience than I ever wanted, not having very capable vessels that are in really good shape is important. And Murphy's Law is works by a quadratic expansion of the risk in heavy seas. And so making it possible for people to be able to afford safe and capable vessels is a factor just to protect us commercial fishermen from ourselves. So I can make a case for that. So I'm going to support this. I wish there was a better solution that let the marketplace rule more, but and then the people who are supporting it have had a lot more experience than me in managing these kind of fisheries and so on. So, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dyson. Any further discussion by committee members?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Machicki.
Just I agree with Senator Dyson, I just have an objection on the first comment about the intelligence of some of us commercial fishermen. But other than that, I'll let it go.
All right. What is the will of the committee?
Senator Dyson? Madam Chair, I move that we move Senate Bill 54. I think we're still working on the A version.
Yes, sir.
With the including conceptual amendment to change the sunset date to 2018 from committee with the fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Without objection, the bill is passed out of Senate Resources. We will take a brief at ease to sign the transmittal documents. We're back on the record. The next bill before us is HB 36, Exempt Discharges from Use of Munitions. Representative Tammy Wilson has brought this bill before us. We heard it last week. Representative Wilson, do you have any further comments? Not? All right. Present in the room is Michelle Hale from DEC, Division of Water. For questions, and so is Seth Bosang. He is on the phone, Department of Law, on behalf of DEC for any questions. Committee members, are there any further comments or questions before we move this bill today? Seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we move SB 36 / A from as amended with fiscal notes and individual recommendations. I'm sorry, HB.
Very good.
I move that we move House Bill 36 / A as amended from committee with fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Without objection. The House Bill 36 will move from this committee. We'll take another brief at each for signing transmittal documents. The last item on the agenda is Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, Version U. It's being brought before the committee, and Senator Bishop is the sponsor. So I will ask your staff or you, Senator Bishop, to step forward and tell us about the State Food Resource Development Working Group.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Brittany Hutchison. I work for Senator Bishop. Thank you for having me here today and for hearing this resolution. The resolution in front of you is Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, and what this resolution would do if it passes is it would urge the governor to establish a State Food Resource Development Working Group, which would work together with 8 different state agencies, the Alaska Food Policy Council, Native Villages and Corporations throughout the state, and also Alaska cattle ranchers, farmers, fishermen, and shellfish growers. They would all work together to increase local production, distribution, and consumption of food items. This will allow for a stronger, more sustainable, and healthier food system in Alaska. There are 3 main reasons why we need this resolution to pass. They would provide for healthier Alaskan communities, a healthier Alaskan economy, and stronger food security. Why do we need healthier economies and healthier communities in Alaska? 3 out of the top 10 leading causes of death in Alaska are diet-related: heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. 2 to 19-year-olds in Alaska are currently 20% overweight and 20% obese. Teachers are noticing that students are performing more poorly due to their lack of food, or else they are filling up on empty calories such as junk food. And we all know that junk food is cheaper than healthy food. In 2009, the USDA reported that 13% of Alaskans were unable to supply the food that is needed to feed their entire families. As of 2010, 40% of Alaskan adults are overweight and 27% are obese. That's a total of 67% of Alaskans either overweight or obese in this state. 77% of Alaskans are not getting the 5 daily servings of fruits and vegetables required. and it is currently estimated that Alaska spends $477 million annually in medical costs directly related to obesity. It's obvious that Alaska can use healthier communities. With the passage of this resolution, you will be allowing for more access to healthy food for Alaskans. How this would help with healthier economies in Alaska. In the 1950s, 50% of Alaska's food was produced locally. Currently, it's only 5%. That's 95% being imported, and that's an estimated $1.5 billion that could be used to stay here to help create jobs. If Alaska went from 5% production to 35% production of its local food annually, it would represent almost $500 million increase in additional sales and $2 billion of increased economic activity to the state. Lastly, we have increased food security if this legislation passes. Food security is obviously a huge issue in Alaska, and it's also one of the governor's priorities. This legislation, if it passes, would help with the governor's priority by strengthening our local distribution system and the amount of food available in case of an emergency. This would therefore establish stronger food security and more local reliance. These few facts alone are enough to point to the desperate need for a state food resource development working group. I would also advise all of you to look at the letters of support we have for this resolution. They are from all around the state. To sum it up, we need to maximize our local resources. We need to increase food production, consumption, and distribution in this state to allow for healthier economy, healthier communities, and also a stronger food security system. It's time to bring Alaskans together to take care of ourselves. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions from committee members? Senator Dyson?
Good, thank you. This is an amazing piece of work. I've never seen a resolution that has more be it resolved than it does whereases. The score is 17 to 9. And two logical questions. Why aren't these folks already doing this? And then the second question is, how can they do this with all of this, the 17 things, without a fiscal note?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, why we have not already been doing this, I do not know, but that's why this resolution is here, is to get this started. And to your second question, a fiscal note would be probably needed once the governor has actually established the working group, and that's why it's not currently needed right now.
Follow-up?
Let me think about it.
All right. Committee members, Senator Machicki?
I just have a comment. I think this resolution is about the spirit of Alaska that many of us knew as young people. I think the state has changed significantly in this will help encourage us getting back to self-reliance and independence and the fact that Alaskans can do anything. And I see the results being a big supporter of 4-H and agriculture and fisheries programs. I think it encourages us to grow our foods closest to home and put lots of people to work and give a lot of confidence to young people involved in those industries. So good move, Senator Bishop. Very supportive.
Further comments from committee members? All right, we will go then to public comment, and I have a very long list here. So why don't we, I've got Anchorage LIO off net, and then probably half a dozen people or more here in the room. So why don't we start with the Anchorage LIO? I see Randy Sweet and Arnie Thompson. Mr. Sweet, you are the first person on the list. Can you hear us?
And this is, for the record, this is Randy Sweet with United Way of Anchorage, and wanting to speak in support of the resolution. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. A strong and secure Alaska food system is essential to the health and wellness of Alaskans. Ms. Hutchinson spoke to some of the points, so I won't restate what's already been stated, but I think that the resolution creates a framework to support the cross-sector collaboration, integration of resources, and entrepreneurship that in turn can help us with the delivering a strong and secure food system that can provide jobs, support healthy communities, increase food security, feed the hungry, and insulate us from potential disruptions along the food supply chain. We do have an existing group that would be working with this food resources, the Alaska Food Policy Council, with over 200 Alaskans from the farming, fishing, business, food, banking, anti-hunger network, health and environmental conservation sectors of our state. Additionally, we can provide nutritious and affordable foods, especially local foods, that are part of the solution, and again, to the point of the healthy waste and disease prevention. One of the other things that's important is that we have a goal of 90% of Alaskan students graduating on time by the year 2020. And when students are distracted by hunger, they are unable to focus, stay, and succeed in school. So this would help support students in their academic endeavors. And additionally, if we're able to bend the cost curves on healthy foods so families don't have to choose between paying for heat or for food. Thank you very much for this opportunity to provide testimony in support of this resolution.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And if you would like to send that in writing, we can attach it to this resolution, and it'll be part of the permanent record. Also in Anchorage, Arnie Thompson.
Yes, Madam Chairman. My name is Arnie Thompson. I'm Executive Director of the recently formed Alaska Salmon Alliance, which is based in Kenai, Alaska, but we also have an office here in Anchorage. We're a nonprofit trade association comprised of commercial fishermen and seafood processing companies focused on collaborative activities that will encourage sustainability of Cook Inlet salmon fisheries. The ASA is aware of and supports Governor Parnell's efforts to improve food security, self-sufficiency in food production, and to create a reserve of food supplies in the event of the disruption of food distribution. We're aware that only 5% of food consumed in Alaska is being derived from Alaska sources. There's a great deal of room for improvement if Alaska is to become self-sufficient in food production. It is a known fact that retail food supplies will last less than a week if the transportation links are cut off by some sort of mishap or disaster. It is for this reason that Governor Parnell has initiated food warehousing across the state. SCR-1 and its companion bill, HCR-1, they envision a new resource development working group that will be working with the Alaska Food Policy Council and state agencies. A particular interest to the ASA will be the mission of, quote, the Department of Commerce, Community, Economic Development, to work with the state food resource development working group to develop marketing and promotional programs to enhance and identify new and expanded opportunities for residents of the state in food production, food processing, and food distribution services. Myself, having a lot of experience at Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and I'm well aware that there are ex officio members from the Alaska legislature, namely Mr. Stoltz, who are very cognizant of the marketing efforts of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and they have encouraged the collaboration of ASME with Alaska-grown products, agricultural products, and we think we also support that and would like to see more of that kind of cooperation develop with the new Alaska State Work Group. That concludes my comments, Madam Chair.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Next we go, let me first recognize that we've been joined by Senator Fairclough. Thank you for joining us. Welcome. We'll now go on to the off-net. I want to also state something that I neglected to state at the onset. If you could limit your testimony to 2 minutes, please. There are quite a few people here that want to testify on this, and that will help everyone be heard. On the off-net, I actually have four people who are here offering to answer any questions if needed, so I'll let committee members know. Mike O'Hare, Deputy Director of Homeland Security, is on the line for questions. Dean Hamburg from Kenai, the Alaska School Nutrition Association, and Diane Peck in Anchorage, Department of Health and Social Services. These three folks are available if we have any questions later on. But next in the off-net is Delana Johnson, the mayor of Palmer. Delana, can you hear us? Great. If you would identify yourself and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Delana Johnson, mayor for the city of Palmer, representing the city, representing the residents of the city of Palmer. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I also want to thank Senator Bishop for bringing this forward. I really appreciate the vision he has to address the needs of Alaskans. Representing Palmer, as you know, is an agricultural area, but even though we, well, in 2015 will mark 100 years for the Palmer Agricultural Station, it's certainly not the first area of Alaska that was developed for agriculture. And throughout that time of that process, there's been a number of things that have marked agriculture throughout the state. But one of the things is certainly is getting our local foods to people and to local markets. And part of that is bureaucratic stumbling blocks. And I'm hoping that this working group will take a look at some of those things. And it is something that should be doing already, but has not progressed exactly how it should. And this group can help that. I also would really like to see these local foods in the schools, local food, local fishery products. Less than 5% of the food consumed in the state is produced locally, and increasing the amount consumers in the state spend on local food products certainly will help drive economic development in the state's agricultural and fishery industries, and certainly access to fresh and nutritious foods promote and contribute to a healthier lifestyle for residents of the entire state. And so I know I won't repeat what's already been said, but I do appreciate this, and I thank Senator Bishop for bringing this forward.
Thank you very much, Mayor Johnson. And again, if you'd like to submit that testimony in writing, we'd be glad to attach it to the bill. We'll move to people now here in the room. The first person on the list to testify here is Nick Moe from Anchorage. Welcome, Nick. Come on up to the desk. And if you would identify yourself for the record as well as your affiliation, and 2 minutes of testimony.
Absolutely. Thanks. My name is Nick Moe. I'm on the board of the Food Policy Council, identified here in this resolution. I was born and raised in Anchorage, and you know, it's funny, I never really thought I'd be speaking to you about food issues. A short 2 years ago, I could barely take care of my bamboo plant at home, and food policy was more of the salmon and moose, you know, the annual hunts and fishing trips we do. But since then, I have to say, I've met with hundreds of folks across the state, fishermen, farmers, other food experts, and have really had a chance to learn a lot about the issues and opportunities that we have in the state about this important issue, and I have since joined the Food Policy Council since then. You know, we heard a lot about some of the challenges Brittany mentioned with food in the state, but we also have some huge opportunities to make Alaska more prosperous, more healthy, and more self-reliant. And I think that, you know, tying all these issues together, there's not many things that we can do policy-wise that affect so many things like that. I should mention a little bit about the Food Policy Council. We're working towards these goals as well. We have over 200 organizations and individuals who are part of our Food Policy Council, state and federal agencies, tribal entities, university programs, farmers, fisheries programs, businesses, and other food experts who have been actively working towards these goals. And the reason why this resolution is so exciting is I think it really strengthens the bond of between the Food Policy Council and the state to help shape better food policies. So I know our time is short, so I'll leave it at that, but I also should mention that I'm here in Juneau because we have 20 teams from around the state who are giving up their spring break to talk to you guys about food issues here in Juneau this week. And a few of them are here in the audience that I think you'll hear from that chose this as one of their focus legislations because they feel passionate about it as well. So thank you for hearing this important legislation. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moe, for your testimony. Any questions for him? All right, very good. The next person who signed up is Paige Critchbaum. Welcome, Paige. Come on up. She is, looks like, with the Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. Yes. So welcome. If you would state your name and your affiliation, the group that you're with, and then 2 minutes.
Okay, so my name is Paige Critchbaum. I'm a senior at Bartlett High School in Anchorage. I'm here with the Civics and Conservation Summit with Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. And food is so important to me because I work as a baker at Paris Bakery and Cafe. I'm with food every day. It's just really important that it not only tastes good, but it's good for you, and it's not from somewhere crazy off somewhere. I also wanted to read off a part of whereas that really caught my eye was, whereas access to fresh and nutritious local food would promote and contribute to healthier lifestyles for residents of the state. And I think that that's, like, really important for Alaskans, is to have food policies that would increase the access also of Alaska food for Alaskans.
Very good. Well, thank you, Paige. That was excellent. And if you would like to give us your testimony in writing, we'll actually put it on the website, attach it to the resolution, and you'll be part of the permanent record.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I just ask Paige or one of the AYEA testifiers to remind us when they're having their barbecue this week?
Thursday.
What they're serving.
Noon, and it's going to have wild salmon.
All right. Great. Thank you for that. All right. The next person here who is ready to testify is Justice Sky from Homer. Welcome, Justice.
Hi.
Welcome.
All right. My name is Justice Sky. I'm here as a youth trainer for the Alaska Youth for Environmental Action Civics and Conservation Summit, and I'm president of the Homer chapter. To keep this brief, I work with local food a lot in Homer. At my work, we serve exclusively local food, and working with the farmers market, I know that everyone loves locally grown food. They know it's good for them, and they want it. The only problem is it's expensive and hard to get for a lot of people. And as for why this resolution is important, I believe other statements have given a pretty good idea of that. But I'd just like to point out that there are so many benefits to it. The whereas section is really well done. There are economic benefits, health benefits, and I think it would create a really good infrastructure for food in Alaska that we are definitely lacking right now. So basically, I'd just like to say that there really isn't time to waste on an issue like this. I'd like to see it passed and as soon as possible, and to urge all of you, if you see anything like this in the future, to definitely make it a priority, because food issues in Alaska are definitely a priority. That is all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Justice. Questions for Justice? Any members? Great. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Next person here in the room is James Sullivan. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is James Sullivan, and I'm with the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. And we submitted a letter for testimony, and we just wanted to get on the record that we commend the Senator for taking this issue up. A great deal of our focus at SEAC has been sustainable communities, and we feel like this issue of food security and food safety and just promoting local foods is a wonderful thing, and we're very thankful that the legislature is taking it up, and we urge its pass. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Next person is Darren Snyder. Welcome, Darren.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And my name is Darren Snyder. I'm a cooperative extension agent with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I serve Southeast Alaska as my region, but I also serve on the governing board of the Alaska Food Policy Council, similar to Nick Moe, and I've helped in the establishment of the council. I'm very excited to be able to provide the full support of the cooperative extension for this resolution. There are many goals that we have through the extension service with this. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the many issues and challenges facing Alaskans. I'm continually reminded of our relationship with food and its central role in the stability and success of Alaskan communities. And within Extension, we work on a daily basis to support Alaskans within our strategic plan goals, some of which are to promote safe and healthy foods for Alaskans that will assist in increasing Alaska's food security and decrease imported foods. Another one is to enhance agricultural opportunities in Alaska. Another, promote healthy food choices among Alaskans. And finally, to increase Alaskans' access to entrepreneurial activities. So these are just a touch of what we have in a strategic plan. There are handfuls of other goals which do also support what this resolution is going for. I'd like to just really quickly prevent loving this this resolution to death, but just briefly address Senator Dyson's question about why hasn't this been done already. I think what we are seeing is really a grassroots upwelling of interest in the whole local foods movement. There are groups such as Slow Foods, there are nationwide international groups, the popularization through authors such as Michael Pollan and Barbara Kingsolver. All of these have contributed to this upswelling of bringing food to the forefront of our communities. There are also challenges with our food production on a national basis, which we all are keenly aware of. There are vulnerabilities with our food system from our production level all the way through to transportation and everything else. So we are all recognizing that we need to put more into working wisely and efficiently together within all of our state agencies, but all of us up in Alaska. So I thank you for bringing this forward, Senator Bishop, and I urge its support.
Thank you. Mr. Snyder, hold on. Senator McGuire has a question.
Thank you so much. And through the chair, if I might, you seem like you might be the person that's the right one to ask the questions that I have. And if you're not, maybe you could refer me to somebody that might know, and maybe you know as well, Senator Bishop, in your preparation for this bill. My curiosity is, how do we compare to other jurisdictions? I'm always curious when we look at the statistics. Unfortunately, Alaska tends to be the leader in so many bad areas, and we're, as a young state, 54 years old, trying to remedy that, domestic violence other places. But when you say 5%, that strikes me as low. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see us be higher. Mm-hmm. This has been something I've cared about passionately my time in Alaska. I'd love to see more Alaska foods in our school lunch program. I'd love to see them in corrections. I love the whereases as well. I'd love to see us be more exporters of our Alaska salmon, our Alaska halibut, these great things that we have. But I'm just curious, how do we compare? Is 5% high, low? Do you know?
It depends.
Okay.
We do have, the states within the union, which are much more, they have California, for example, and Florida, that are producing much more agricultural crops in the Midwest. And I think that the focus here, that we do have a major challenge. There are reasons why we don't have more production of agricultural products, the challenges of transportation and just difficulty of production. So the increasing our local production is not going to be an easy task. And as some of the previous speakers have mentioned, the youth specifically, that it's expensive. And it's going to take a lot of cohesive effort and coordinated effort to try and increase production and reduce the costs, because we're not going to put a dent in overall hunger and empty calories and all of those issues if we don't drop the price of healthy foods. And so that's our goal, is to create efficiencies with whether it's from buying power or what have you within state government, within and we have tribal organizations and entities mentioned, included in the resolution. Thank you, Senator, for doing that. And all of these partners need to play a role, and bringing food to the forefront is the only way we can do that. And Fortunately, we do have many resources, which we are actively exporting for our economic gain, but I think that, such as fish, of course, but incorporating those more into our food streams within the state, I think are things that are happening and things that could happen better.
Just very good follow-up.
Really,
yes,
quickly, Madam Chair. It's something Senator Dyson and I have done in the area of renewable energy. Just what you talked about, creating volume in terms of demand is one of the things that you can do to change landscapes. And so we have said for the Department of Transportation, whenever they make major fleet purchases, that they look at compressed natural gas and rule it out specifically as too expensive, if you will. And we're making some strides there. But I would say that as you look at some of the policies that you can affect, we have Goose Creek now coming. I mean, this is the first opportunity the state has ever had to, if you will, rehabilitate its own within its borders. And arguably that's been part of our challenges, that we're, you know, farming out our prisoners to Arizona in some cases and Colorado and others. Here they're going to be in Alaska, so there's a place to say buy local. It should be local food. And similarly in our school districts, the lunch programs, the opportunity to say these should be local foods wherever possible. I just say that to your food policy group that's in effect, and maybe something for this group, however the governor puts it together, to consider it. We have the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and I don't know how they could help as well, but anyway, I leave that out there for consideration, that sometimes creating aggregate buyers and volume purchasers can sometimes shift a marketplace.
Absolutely, I agree completely. And I believe that, well, some of these programs just need to be enforced, such as the, if I may, the 7% incentive for buying local Alaska products is in place for our state institutions. And so that's something that is on the books already. And so that's something that's one of our goals with the Food Policy Council is to have that promoted and realized by folks. And it's the gamut. It's including personal use and, dare I say, the word subsistence, but just people going out and getting Alaska foods and being reasonable about how much energy, how much effort, how much cost is it to Alaskans to be able to eat off the land, whether they've gathered it wild or whether they've cultivated it, whether they purchased it, or whether, you know, we're looking at a system-wide emphasis, and that's why I think that this is really important and that we've got a really good momentum and a good comprehensive plan moving forward with this.
Very good. Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The last person signed up to testify is Ed Fogles. Mr. Fogles?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. I'm here to speak in favor of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1. As you all know, a healthy agriculture industry is vital to our state's food security. As part of my duties in the Department of Natural Resources, I'm overseeing the Division of Agriculture, and I've been working with the division staff over the last couple of years to outreach to the farming community in Alaska to sort of really have a dialogue and find out what it is that the division can do better to foster a stronger agricultural industry in Alaska. In every conversation that we've had with the Alaska Farm Bureau or other groups, interagency cooperation always floats to the top as one of the big issues. Almost every department in the state government has some linkage to the agricultural industry, and in some places they're working well, some places they're non-existent. So we're trying really hard. We have made some progress in this arena. We've tightened up our collaboration with other agencies, whether it's with DEC on food regulation or pesticide regulation, fish and game to look at how to mitigate impacts from bison on the farming community, or control invasive weed spreads. or with the University of Alaska Fairbanks in trying to figure out how to focus agricultural research more on Alaska issues. So we look forward to strengthening this collaboration through this. I think this resolution will really go a long way to help strengthen all this interagency collaboration and communication between state agencies, federal agencies, and other stakeholders. So we applaud Senator Bishop for introducing this, and also Representative Bill Stoltz for introducing it and passing it on the House side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Committee members, questions for Deputy Commissioner Fogels? All right. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else present in the room that wishes to testify today? Anyone else online? All right. With that, I'll close public testimony. At this point, any committee members with further comments? Yes, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let me get this mic up here. I'd just like to make a few comments. First off, I'd like to thank my staff, Ms. Brittany Hutchison, for doing an admirable job today rolling this resolution out. Second thing that I saw here today that just really gave me faith in the system and in Alaska in general, to kind of dovetail on Senator Michicki's earlier comments, was those, and I wish I would have said it a little sooner, I thought they might stay here till the end, but those three young people that came up here today and testified to the bill, to the resolution in support of it, you know, that just does wonders for me to see that our young people are committed to Alaska's future and our food security and just life in general. There's nothing to be said for the benefit of eating out of your watershed, as my wife puts it. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I had the pleasure of having a home-cooked meal out of our watershed, potatoes, carrots, onions, and a fresh moose rib roast. And after being down here eating where we eat for 5 weeks, it's amazing how good it really is. And I would just like to see, you know, along Governor Parnell's theme of food security and as being a former cabinet member and his diligence in getting food security for Alaska, you know, I just want to remind us again that, you know, not that many years ago, we produced 50% of our food here in this state. Today, we only produce 5% of the food here in the state. And again, to my senator to the right, I just want to say that by bringing this group together, I never did anything, but we can do a lot. And if we all focus on this mission going forward, I would love to see Alaska back at 50% food production in this state, for all the benefits that have been described here today. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Further comments from committee members? Well, I'll just make one. Senator Bishop, as a nurse practitioner, one of my areas of specialty was nutrition and weight management. And I am aware from my study of nutrition that the fresher food is, the more active the enzymes and other nutritional elements are. For example, an orange, the longer that it sits on a shelf or in the form of orange juice, the more the vitamin C deteriorates. The same is true of, say, salmon. As it sits, obviously the oils begin to become rancid, rust, if you will. They oxidize. And so eating oxidized oils makes us age faster, certainly contributes to disease processes. The fresher food is, the better it is for us nutritionally. So wonderful resolution and good job.
Thank you.
So what is the will of the committee?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we move SCR 1 from committee with the interesting fiscal note and individual recommendations.
All right. Is there any objection? Hearing none, SCR number 1, version U, passes out of this committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the transmittal documents. We'll come back on the record. That concludes our agenda for today. Our next meeting is next Wednesday, same time, same place. So thanks very much for coming. The meeting is now adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is 4:27 p.m. Meeting adjourned.